Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call and talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, if you have a sweet tooth, then you want to get close to the radio right now. It's a chocolate and candy show on this Food Friday. We'll talk about making it, eating it. Really, do I have to say anything else? We have some treats here in the studio and the talented folks who make them. Ron Mancini and Jackie Baker are here. They're the owners of Mother Murick's Confectionery in Manchester Center, Vermont. Ron has worked with master chocolatiers or chocolatiers all over the country, and his shop is famous for their chocolates, their Buttercrunch toffee, and their Lemon Lulu cake. Matthew Sinico is a fourth-generation maker of fine candies who has been making candy since he was 13 years old. He runs Catherine's Chocolate Shop in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. He makes all his candy from scratch, and his shop is famous for their miniature bite-sized candies. And Tara Stratton is here. She is the owner of the Chocolate Gecko here in Albany. She's a trained chef and dove headfirst into chocolate making when she bought the shop in 2008. And, you know, we've had chocolate already. So I'm already buzzing. And it's nice to have you here, Ron, Jackie, Matthew, Tara. Nice to have a full house here on the studio.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, this is. We should have fun.
Yeah, and we'll learn all about well, you won't have to give us all your secrets, but we'll talk in a moment. The number to call, if you want to call in, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also join us on our webpage, wamc.org/voxpop, or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. But we love your phone calls, 800-348-2551. There are many years of experience here in the chocolate and candy and sweet business. We'll start with you, Matthew Sinico. Your shop opened a long time ago.
Yeah, it opened in Great Barrington. My grandmother, Catherine, opened up Catherine's Chocolate Shop in 1957.
Wow.
They moved to the Berkshires, then with my mom, Kathy, and her sister, Carol. My grandmother, Catherine, and her husband, Mike, moved to Great Barrington. They had traveled to Great Barrington from New York City. Just happened to be sort of vacationing and fell in love with Western Mass and Great Barrington in particular. Started the business in the late 50s, early 60s. The shop where it is now on 260 Stockbridge Road in Great Barrington opened up in 1961 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it has more than quadrupled in size, and my mom and I now, I'm in charge of the kitchen, making everything from scratch, the caramel, the plantation, buttercrunch, everything.
You must get up fairly early in the morning.
I do my best. I have an eight-year-old who sets her own time, and that snooze button doesn't go off
all the time. So that's the fifth generation waiting to go.
Yeah, actually, she's already knee-deep in it. She's told me many times that she prefers milk chocolate over dark chocolate. So,
well, she'll learn.
Well, you know, in time, everybody does. Mm-hmm. And so it definitely is something that has run through our family through multiple generations and looking forward to the future.
Have tastes changed in your experience? Have tastes changed, you know, you mentioned milk and dark mm-hmm. chocolate. Over the time that you've been doing this, 20-whatever years mm-hmm. now that you've been doing it, things changed?
I believe now with the information that everybody has, dark chocolate is becoming more popular than milk chocolate.
Why?
It's better for you. There's antioxidants in dark chocolate that doctors all over the United States say in moderation, about 2 ounces of dark chocolate every day is good for you. And I assume along with a glass of wine alongside you every day, you live a long life. That's probably why my grandparents lived as long as they did, and eating chocolate every day helps you out.
I see Ron and Jackie from Mother Murick's shaking, nodding their heads and smiling. So you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, I eat dark chocolate every day.
Do you have it with wine? It doesn't seem like the right pairing to me.
Oh, it can be. It certainly can be. And it's really the way to go. And I've got great cholesterol, so there.
You think
there
the,
we are.
You think, well, now, of course, we're not doctors, but you think the chocolate helps your cholesterol?
I do.
Or is it the wine?
Oh, well, we won't tell.
All right. And Tara Stratton is here. Tara, you're a chef. How did you end up gravitating toward chocolate?
Well, after working for just 1 year in restaurants, I realized it wasn't for me.
Just too fast-paced? Or what was it that turned you off toward that?
Well, I don't want to be... I love eating at restaurants.
Yeah.
But the general culture, the weekends and holidays and nights and the type of people that were attracted to the kitchen work and for me. So the chocolate's like the day job of food, so...
And what a job it is. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We talk chocolates and sweets and candies with Ron Mancini and Jackie Baker of Mother Mirix, Matthew Sinico of Catherine's Chocolates, and Tara Stratton of Chocolate Gecko right here in Albany. And this is great. Now, we've already had sea salt chocolate caramel from both Mother Mirix and Catherine's. Delicious. What else do we have today? We don't have to eat it all now, but what else did we bring today?
We brought a flourless chocolate espresso torte.
Oh, boy.
And we even have sample spoons, Ray, so we can, you know, have a little taste of that later.
Well, here's a little inside baseball. What I like to do is wait until the calls are in, and that's when I turn off the mic, and that's when I eat. So I'll be good until then.
And, of course, we brought Buttercrunch, our signature chocolate.
How many years have you been donating Buttercrunch to our fund drives?
Oh, my.
This is our 30th year.
Wow. Yeah, we've been heavily involved, if you will.
And, you know, Selma's usually involved in pitching around that.
And Joe.
And their faces light. I don't know if you've actually been here when they've done it. Their faces light up in a way that you usually don't see in a fund drive, especially later on when we're all dog tired. It just has that effect. It's tremendous stuff.
Good.
And what's your specialty, Tara?
We actually also specialize in Buttercrunch.
Do you really?
Yeah.
We ought to have a Buttercrunch battle
which
here.
Which is why I'm a big fan of the Mirix, because they have also great Buttercrunch.
All right, let's go to the phones here. 1-800-348-2551. We'll kick it off with Sam in Great Barrington. Hiya, Sam. You're on.
Oh, thanks, Ray. It's great to talk to you guys.
Thanks.
So I have a question for Matt. I've been to Catherine's Chocolates, and it's a wonderful place. I recommend it to the entire listening area. I have eliminated high fructose corn syrup from my diet. This is going to be a two-part question.
All right.
And I'm curious to know which chocolates are available to me, or if there are chocolates that I can eat that don't contain any high fructose corn syrup, specifically at Catherine's Chocolates. And then my second question is if Matt has any tips for picking up a 6-7 split for a right-handed bowler.
Nice. Okay, good. We got bowling going on, too. Excellent.
With the... high fructose corn syrup. Most everything that I make in the store from scratch has corn syrup in it. Not high fructose corn syrup, but just regular corn syrup.
Low fructose.
Yeah, low fructose corn syrup. And it's one of the main ingredients in all my batches that I make. I have to have corn syrup and sugar to start everything that I make. Other things that I don't make that would have no corn syrup in it. It's sort of one of the main ingredients in all candy, I think. What would you guys say with corn syrup being a main ingredient in the stuff that you guys make?
Definitely, corn syrup is a significant part of a candy maker's repertoire. Not everything that we make has corn syrup, and none of our products have high fructose corn syrup in them. Buttercrunch has no corn syrup in it. It's a straight caramelized butter and sugar toffee that we make.
Made with Cabot Creamery butter.
We use Cabot butter from Vermont exclusively for
us too.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's the best, yeah.
Yep, it is.
Trade secrets here.
I'm happy to keep eating the corn syrup in service of eating the chocolate.
Oh, really, what good. A guy.
It's really good. But the bowling question is also super important to me, and I know a lot of guys on my team are listening.
All right, so what's the split that he has to tell you about?
6-7 for a right-hander.
6-7, okay.
Sam, go in the bar and get another drink. You got no chance.
Ouch. All right. Hey, Sam, thanks for the call. We appreciate it very much. Good luck out there on the lanes.
All right, Ray. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Bye now. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. We talk chocolates today. All right, let's sample something. What do we got here?
Ooh, how about Buttercrunch, Ron?
We
can
do Buttercrunch.
We've already been talking about that.
All right, let's all try the Buttercrunch. Now, Tara is going to you've tried it? The Mother Mirix?
Yes. Yeah.
She's done the research.
How about the chocolate espresso torte, Tara? That's going to go to you.
Okay. And here comes our producer. Come on in, Jessica Blaustein Marshall.
Oh,
right.
Lord.
She heard Buttercrunch and just...
Yep, that's the stuff.
She lost it.
Chocolate espresso torte.
Oh, my God, that's so good.
The chocolate espresso tort, by the way, is gluten-free.
Oh, wow.
You know, unlike Tara's business and Matthew's business, we also have a significant bakery component. So we have a separate baking kitchen and a separate candy kitchen in our
for
production
gluten-free?
Facility. Well, all of most chocolate products are gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
And people are really surprised to hear that because they just expect gluten. If there's a biscuit in a enrobed in chocolate, then it's not gluten-free because it's probably made with wheat flour. But the butter crunch is gluten-free. I see that Matthew has some dipped orange peel, certainly gluten-free, the dipped fruits. The majority of the items in our candy case, with the exception of maybe a couple of the chocolate biscotti items that we'll do, are all gluten-free. And on the pastry side, you know, we brought the chocolate espresso tort because it's one of our signature chocolate items. And, if the conversation today was going to be all about chocolate, we figured we'd bring...
Is that what this is on the spoon?
That is what that
is
on the spoon.
All right, let's
try. Matthew, would you like to try some?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, boy. It is. Wow. You really taste the espresso in there, too. Delicious.
It's funny how, even though I've been around chocolate all my life, you get me near something pastry or bakery, and it's over.
The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. And we talk chocolate today here on Food Friday. You know, Matthew, in the email that you sent to us with your bio and such, you mentioned that, you know, one of the big mistakes people make when they melt chocolate at home is they use a microwave and it gets too hot. Why is temperature so important when you're making candy?
I think it's the most important thing. When someone's trying to do at home, and I get it a lot at Catherine's, someone will come in and say, I tried to dip strawberries or a nut or something like that, and the chocolate looked like it was gray. It's because a microwave will melt chocolate. And it'll melt chocolate at 100 degrees.
Okay.
And when you take it out of the microwave, it's at 100 degrees or even higher. And that's way too high for chocolate to dip homemade anything. And chocolate needs to be anywhere in between 88 and 92 degrees Fahrenheit for the crystallization of the chocolate to adhere to the item that you're chocolate covering and that to dry properly, that there'd be no gray or no dullness to the chocolate. You want it looking shiny. Really, you just look at it and you can almost see your reflection in it. That's what I've noticed a lot. Also, even not with the microwave, but a double pot boiler sometimes. Another bad thing for chocolate is moisture, and water can seep in to chocolate, which will totally sort of just make the chocolate unusable.
So what's the best way? I always thought a double boiler was the way to go.
A double pot boiler is the best way to go, but it still will temper the chocolate at 100 degrees. So you need to keep a little bit of chocolate out, not melted, to the side so that when you pour it out onto your table or whatever have you that you're dipping, you throw in that little bit of chocolate at the end. Stir it in. That will bring the temperature down from 100 to around 92. I mean, not everybody needs a thermometer or a candy thermometer like we all have. But you can definitely do it at home. And it's just a neat little trick that I've noticed works for me and for everybody else.
Anybody else want to weigh in on that?
I'll weigh in on that. Actually, we do microwave chocolate in our production facility.
Mm.
But Matthew's absolutely right. The big problem with microwaving chocolate is that you can't see the melting because it's melting from the inside.
Ah.
It's not like just going into a liquid state. So people will put it in the microwave and they'll go, oh, nothing happened. So they'll heat it some
overdo
more,
it.
And that and then they'll fry the chocolate and or they'll try to temper. But we actually have a formula, a tip that you can do at home because not everybody has the convenience of a double boiler or doesn't want to deal with the moisture issues mm-hmm. that Matthew alluded to. But you actually can, if you're careful and you practice it, you can actually temper chocolate using a microwave. And it's basically the same principle that Matthew discussed. But rather than reserve the pieces outside of the bowl and then put it in at the end, we actually will slowly melt and agitate the chocolate, but we'll leave a bit of the chocolate unmelted. We won't allow it to melt out completely. And then on a table, we will just stir and melt those unmelted pieces in the bowl. And you can, with a little test, just take a little piece of wax paper and dip it in the chocolate. And if you have a comfortable room temperature in the low 70s, high 60s, within 3 to 4 minutes, you'll be able to see whether the chocolate is in temper. And then you could add your nuts or dip your fruit or what have you. So that's, and we have customers that come in the store and they ask about that. We also recommend that if you are going to melt chocolate in a microwave, that you get it in the form of what's called pistoles, which are kind of like little chocolate drops. Mm-hmm. They're kind of like a, just maybe a half inch in diameter, but, and it's real chocolate, and it's got just a slight dome to it. Those will melt very easily as opposed to the block chocolate that you can either, you can also buy at our businesses, but then you have to go through the energy of cutting it up very finely. So,
okay, that's a great,
it can be done.
Nice piece of advice. The number to call here is 800. Go ahead, Zach. You know where I'm going here. He's got the bumper music ready. 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday. We talk chocolate. We talk candy. We're going to taste some more and take your calls coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Cafe Capriccio, offering dining and catering with Tuscan cuisine in Albany, New York, and Neapolitan cuisine in Saratoga Springs. CafeCapriccio.com for reservations. Ashokan Center, Olive Bridge, New York, a classroom in the wild helping schools, organizations, and individuals reconnect with nature, history, and the arts. AshokanCenter.org. And Barry Price Architecture, since 1996, specializing in buildings that integrate modernism and sustainability with regional materials and aesthetics. BarryPriceArchitecture.com.
Ah, 1-800-348-2551. We talk chocolate, we talk candy, we talk sweets and good things today with Matthew Sinico of Catherine's Chocolates in Great Barrington, Jackie Baker and Ron Mancini of Mother Mirix in Manchester, Vermont, and Tara Stratton of Chocolate Gecko here in Albany. And, you know, Tara didn't bring anything. So right before, you know, Ron and Jackie brought a whole bunch of stuff from Mother Mirix. Matthew brought some stuff. She said, God, I forgot it. So she called, and lo and behold, here we are. And so as we start the next segment, Tara, let's try something. What did you bring for us?
Okay, well, what do you guys want to try?
Well, you tell us what you have.
Okay, so who doesn't like heat?
Who doesn't like heat?
We should have,
you mean
we
spice?
Try the heat. Try the heat. Wait, yeah. You want to share one?
Okay.
So this is a dark chocolate truffle with a white chocolate citrus and habanero filling. So
my heavens.
That. You might want to split that in half. It's really big.
Wow.
Would you like to try
and
that?
And it's in the form of a frog.
And it's in the shape of a frog.
Crunchy frog.
And we call it our hopped-up tree frog.
Oh, I like
all
it.
Right. What do you think?
And the heat comes later.
It's beautiful. Nice texture. Good snap to the chocolate.
Mm.
Thank you.
What we got left out here? What happened?
Oh, they only sent me two.
Ah, aha! We're all set.
Okay.
Here you go, producer.
No, it's all you.
Really? You don't have the spice? All right, I will try this because I like spice. Mm. I'll sweat, but it won't be flop sweat like most of the shows.
Actually tell by the liquidity of it that they literally made that one a minute ago. Can you tell? Right, it hasn't even set
really
yet,
good.
So that's funny.
I think it's a great balance of hot and sweet.
And that tartness, do you like? Mm. Yeah.
And just that hint of citrus, that's very good.
Actually, the heat starts pretty fast.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very good. Okay,
thank you so much.
That's a winner.
Okay.
All right,
thank you.
A winner. We've had Butter Crunch from two locations. They're both winners. And Matthew, you brought some chocolate-covered fruit as well.
Yeah, that seems to be a very popular thing. It is, if you were talking about gluten-free chocolate before, dark chocolate and fruit, it doesn't get much more gluten-free than that. One of the most popular pieces at Catherine's Chocolates is dark chocolate orange peel.
Mmm, perfect.
Yeah.
It's really just fruit glazed orange peel and dark chocolate can't get much better than that.
Do you dip it in milk at all?
Yeah, we do, but it's twice as more popular in dark than
why?
Milk.
Now, why? It's just the...
I think just the fruit and
bitterness.
At least the glazed fruit. When you're talking strawberries,
yeah,
which is a fresh fruit, you know, obviously fresh fruit, we sell more chocolate-covered strawberries in milk chocolate than dark chocolate. The pairing with the milk chocolate and the fresh fruit seems to be more popular, at least at our store. I'm not quite sure why, just it's more...
Now, when you dip the fruit, now you're purchasing the chocolate, right?
Yes.
You're not making the chocolate.
No,
so let's talk to the chocolate makers here. No? Nobody makes chocolate here? Is it very difficult to do?
Yes.
Well, you need to be... You need equipment. You need to roast. You need to conch.
Really?
You need to grind the chocolate.
It's a totally different process.
Now, there is an upcoming, artisan chocolate that go from bean to bar.
Yeah.
That are out there, and they're pretty popular right now.
So you're kidding me. It is that much of a process. I never knew. You know, when you see Hershey bars out there, you figured, well, this is if it's can be mass produced.
Can we say that's not chocolate?
Is it not chocolate?
Can we say that?
No, it's
well,
I
think our legal department.
There's a little bit of chocolate in
okay.
there.
But Tara brings up a really good point about is it really chocolate? It is really chocolate. It is Hershey, and you got to give credit where credit is due. It's a big
company.
However,
with big lawyers, by the way, Tara.
But
that's Tara Stratton.
But
thanks.
There is chocolate, and there is chocolate.
Okay, let's talk about the grading. Is it the amount of cocoa in the chocolate?
Yep.
That's part of it. But it starts with the quality of the bean itself. It starts with the process of the roasting. Master roasters, just like master coffee roasters, have same exacting standards to whether or not they want a light, dark, medium roast, because different flavor notes will come out from the cocoa mass as a result of that. And that's only the start of the process. So where it's grown, how it's handled, how it's roasted.
What's added.
What is added to it. But even before anything gets added to it, then there's the whole conching process, which is taking the chocolate through a milling process that mills it to a fine, to microns of size in the particle. And some companies will do the grinding for a very short period of time. And others will do it for a very long period of time. It's also the quality of the rollers within the conch. I mean, this is before it gets to the three companies that are here in this room. What we do is, individually, we go out and we go to the major manufacturers, whether it's Peters, whether it's Calibo, whether it's Valrhona, Guittard out of California, wonderful chocolate manufacturers. Mm-hmm. And then we decide what it is that we want to present to our customers. And it has to please us first before we'll put it out in the case.
Now, how much fine detail can a palate discern? In other words, how far from the average mass-produced chocolate bar to what you're talking about, how much can the average human actually discern?
Quite a bit.
Yeah?
Quite a
like
bit.
Like any fine food or wine or beer or coffee.
You can really tell.
Yeah, absolutely.
The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Lines are loaded. Let's go to Big Tom in West Stockbridge. You're up.
Hey there. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good.
Hey, all right. Hey, what's going on? Top of the chocolate to you. Yeah. What are you guys talking about today?
Okay. Well, we're talking about chocolate.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I got a question for Matt.
Okay.
What's up, Big Tom?
Hey, Matt. How are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, I was crossing the road the other day, and I did, and I had to do a little jog, and I think I popped my hammy.
Okay. Well,
what do I want to look for? Bruising?
Okay.
I don't see any bruising yet.
All right, sir. Well, that's the wrong topic. You want to weigh in on that, or?
I'm not a doctor, and I don't play one on TV, so.
Okay, so apparently chocolate inspires insanity, and let's just go on to Eric in North Adams. Eric, you're on. Erica, I'm sorry, Erica.
It's Erica.
Hi.
Hi. I guess I think I am going to be talking to the right people with this question.
Okay. As long as you don't bring up your hamstring, we're good to go.
No.
Right,
I was
fine.
Actually laughing about that.
Okay.
Every year, I'm from Vermont originally. I live in Massachusetts, so I've had the only place that I've had is Mother Meyer's, and I love the Butter Crunch. We get it every year. I haven't tried Catherine's, but I go by there sometimes for work. anyway, this is my question about chocolate. Every year we make homemade chocolates. I wouldn't say we make the chocolate. We don't make the chocolate homemade, but we have kind of a recipe we use in a double boiler to mix a couple different various types of chocolate that we like together to then dip buttercream. We hand roll these buttercream. It's been a recipe in our family for years. It's pretty much butter, confectionery sugar, sweetened condensed milk, and then flavored extracts to make the different buttercreams. Now, we haven't figured out. We make like 2,000 to 3,000 a year. What we haven't figured out is a system that we can dip these efficiently. I guess what we find has been the most efficient way is taking a toothpick, rolling it into the chocolate, and this takes forever, and then putting it on like a, I guess you know the like wax paper, taking the toothpick out, and then we were literally using like syringes, the plastic ones that throw away, you know, sterile ones to fill the holes, so you didn't have the holes there. Right. And I'm like, and every year we're making more and more, and I'm like, there's got to be a different way to do this. I realize there's molds out there you can buy, but for the buttercreams, it's very temperamental. So I just wondered.
Okay, a good question, and thankfully not full of any physical ailments. So let's go, panel.
Well, part of the fun of making your own candy at home is not being, it's not, has to be perfect, I think.
No, it doesn't have to
be perfect. So... No. The double pot boiler and your cream that you're making at home is a very good start. I was saying before, and getting some help from Ron, with the tempering of the chocolate, I don't think you should directly put the cream right in the pot. You're taking the pot off the stove, off the water, so no residual heat is coming. Let the chocolate sort of just sit for a little while before you jump right into dipping your homemade creams. Make sure your homemade creams are room temperature. Don't take them right out of the refrigerator and dip them into the chocolate. There'll be moisture on the creams, and the moisture will carry over to the chocolate.
And this is what we argue, all us ladies, about that exact thing, because all my aunts feel that they have to be, you take them from the refrigerator, they're all rolled with the toothpicks in them, ready to go.
Yeah, I'm very in touch with my feminine side, so you just have to trust me.
But Matthew, I have a tool that she could use that may really cut down on her production time.
Yeah. Okay.
Dipping forks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can go to a good craft store, or you go to, or even one of your chocolate shops can probably order a set in for you. But you can get chocolate forks. And which is a lot of what we used to do when we did everything by hand. You would put the piece, follow Matthew's advice about not being having it be cold. Forget the toothpicks.
Right?
Piece on the fork, immerse it in the chocolate, dip it, tap it on the side so that you can shake the excess chocolate. And then you could roll the piece onto your wax paper or whatever else you're doing. You could also use the fork to put a signature on the chocolate as it's drying.
And you're not going to be spearing your piece.
Right. Oh, it's so time to, I mean, it's fun because it's the ritual of it, you know, and every year it just seems to get bigger and bigger. We want to make more and we're getting better at it. I think we get more of a system, but we've always thought there's got to be a better way. And I didn't think of that. We were doing it before without a double boiler, so you could only imagine.
The other thing you could do is if you want to, There's small, what I call hobby chocolate tempering machines.
Uh-huh.
There's a company called Choco Vision. They're in Poughkeepsie, New York, actually. And you can buy these online. They're not inexpensive, but there's some that will melt and temper as little as 1 to 2 pounds, 3 pounds of chocolate. And that may be the kind of thing where you just do it at that season, and then you can just put it away and then bring it out the following year.
And if it's your family that's doing it, everybody can pitch in and, you know, buy the piece of equipment, and it will make your life a whole lot easier.
Okay, Tara agrees.
Can I ask one more question while I have you, that I just thought of, that it was something that we have explored it online a little bit, but we use the basic extracts, you know, the McCormick ones you can get right at the Big Y or any of the grocery stores, but from time to time we wanted to do like Kahlua or something kind of a little bit, but you can't use... Yeah. The Kahlua kind of screws with the I guess, a mixture. So I didn't know if there was any kind of things you could recommend for extracts.
Well, Terry, yeah. you have absinthe in your...
I have a Kahlua here with me today, actually.
Oh, do you?
So I think you have to move to molds if you're going to use a liquidy filling. So if you want to cut it to liquid, hand rolling's out of the question.
Yeah.
All right. Erica, thanks a lot for the call. Go ahead. 1-800-348-2551. Teresa in Kingston. Teresa, you're on.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I have a crazy question.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
We're doing, it's for a great cause, though, a mac and cheese bake-off in Kingston on Sunday.
Mm.
And one of the categories is exotic. Is there any way to mix in chocolate into a mac and cheese?
White chocolate would be great.
I see a lot of people nodding their heads. Yeah. I think you might be onto something. All right, panel.
How would I do it? Chocolate is a food, first of all. You have to really think of it in those terms. And as a food, I think it has wonderful opportunity. You have a wonderful opportunity to be very creative with how you use chocolate. I know Tara just mentioned white chocolate in a mac and cheese. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just don't get it too hot, or the fats will separate out of your white chocolate. That's the only concern.
Will it just put the chocolate in and it will bake at the same time, in the oven?
The oils will very likely separate. So maybe once you make the mac and cheese and it's kind of cooler down to that 100 degrees that everybody keeps talking about, then maybe melt in and stir in your white chocolate.
Wow.
Right. Brilliant.
Okay.
And you wouldn't even have to worry about tempering it.
Right. But
you don't want it to separate.
So I'd like shred it and then mix it in.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
I think you might be onto something.
You guys
there.
Should come down and join us.
That sounds really good.
Yum. Yeah.
Thanks
Three
a lot.
3 to 5 at Keegan Ale's for Angel Food East. It's great.
Thanks a lot, Teresa.
All right. Thanks, guys. I'm going to try it. Thank you.
You know, years ago here at the newsroom, I entertained everyone by making chocolate-covered bacon, and this was long before it hit the scene.
You were ahead of the curve.
I'll tell you, my brother and I came up with it. We were driving through central New York, and we said, we're going to do this thing. And this was many years ago, and we actually used dark chocolate and peanut butter, and I believe I recall that I think I got the bacon chilled, not frozen but chilled, and then dipped it in the spread peanut butter, and then dipped in the dark chocolate.
I love it.
Yeah, the newsroom was pretty happy. It's been several years since I've made them. Ellie in Newburgh, Ellie.
Yes, I have a question. Get ready for this one. Okay. I am sitting here surrounded by about a dozen. I kid you not. Labels from chocolate that I have been saving to try to find the answer to this one. They all, every single one of them, from Godiva to Lindor to Ghirardelli, everybody says dark chocolate, and I only buy dark chocolate. And I'm trying to figure out a definition for dark chocolate. Some of them, Ghirardelli says unsweetened. Let me see, Lindor.
Terry, you want to take this one?
It's very simple. There's no milk in it at all. That's about it. That's it. That's the only thing that makes it dark chocolate, not dark chocolate anymore, is once you start adding dairy.
And is it traditionally a higher cocoa level?
Much higher cocoa mass, yeah.
Yeah, actually, the FDA has a guidelines, percentage guidelines.
Go ahead, Rob.
What you can say is milk or dark chocolate. Terry's absolutely right. It's the... there is no what they call milk crumb or milk solids, which is it was a phenomenon developed by the Swiss to make chocolate more palatable.
Amen.
They mixed chocolate. In fact, it was, I think, Dr. Peter who came up with that and mixed the like a concentrated milk crumb, very little liquid, but all of the milk flavor, which gives the milk chocolate its color and its distinct creaminess, as opposed to the perhaps sharpness or even the different mouthfeel that you get with dark chocolate.
We're going to take a break here in a moment, and I'll let you get the last word on this topic, Matthew, and then we will take a break.
Percentage-wise, dark chocolate has to be at least 35% cocoa in the United States.
So all right. And we'll talk. I have a question about white chocolate, and I will ask that question in a moment. Meantime, Mr. Zach, let's take a break. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. We hit the home stretch on The Chocolate Show next.
Support for WAMC comes from Pangea, North Bennington, Vermont. contemporary American cuisine prepared with local sustainable ingredients, featuring international beer and wines, VermontFineDining.com and Facebook. Unison Arts New Paltz, pre-St. Patrick's Day music with harpist Lynn Searsha and cellist Abby Newton, playing traditional Irish, American, and Scottish music March 9th at 2, unisonarts.org. And the Pioneer Valley Chinese Immersion Charter School, a kindergarten through 12th grade public school, hosting an open house for middle and high school students on March 8th, pvcics.org for info.
one 800 348 2551. Yeah, the party's going on here. It's Chocolate Show on Vox Pop Food Friday. And during the breaks, we break out the food. And Tara Stratton of Chocolate Gecko just handed us a, this is, well, what is this?
It's a, well, I guess you'd call it in just a buttercream, but we call it a fondant. But it's just a old-fashioned buttercream. And then we make it very stiff, and we cut it. And the reason we make it so stiff is so we can add a lot of absinthe to it.
Mm. So you put Pernod or something in that? What brand do you use?
Oh, we actually... Oh, my God, now you're embarrassing me. I don't know the name. It's the...
it tastes familiar. That's all
green.
I...
yeah.
And no, you like it.
It's,
yes.
It's a good French authentic absinthe with the wormwood.
Okay. Oh, with the wormwood?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, only 19 minutes to go. We should hold off the hallucinations until then. All right. Now, Matthew, you have this, and this is?
Dark chocolate peppermint.
Dark chocolate peppermint. Can't lose.
Dropped it 2 days ago. Fondant, like you were talking about, melted down with pure oil peppermint. I have a good story. My grandfather taught me how to make the peppermint. Two capfuls of peppermint.
Two capfuls of peppermint.
Yes. And then my dad.
It's delicious.
My dad said, you have to do three because you have to add one for yourself. So it's now a little bit stronger peppermint. I believe I got it down pat now.
It's got a little bite, that's for sure. Matthew Sinico is here with Catherine's Chocolates, Jackie Baker and Ron Mancini of Mother Mirix, and Tara Stratton of Chocolate Gecko. The number to call, 1-800-348-2551. Lillian in New Paltz, go on. You're here.
Yes, I have a question about... chocolate and sugar.
Okay.
I'm diabetic, but I've always been a chocoholic, and my children are, and we adore chocolate. And it's a real problem to get good chocolate that is made without sugar, because either they use a sugar substitute that isn't very good for you, or something of that sort. And that's been a problem for me since the inception of my diabetes. So what I'm asking is, what would you recommend in terms of good chocolate that does not have sugar?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tara?
I have an opinion, since I'm a bit of a health nut. So I don't eat artificial sweeteners, but there are a couple out there that even seem to have some health benefits, and one is stevia and the other is xylitol. So if you can find chocolates with those two sweeteners in them, you're probably not getting the creepy chemicals.
All right, and are there any digestive side effects, per se?
As it looks like, and I'm no expert on this, but it looks like xylitol even has health benefits when it pops up in my news and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So it's an interesting...
Yeah, and to that point, a lot of the... sugar-free chocolates, or the sugar replacement chocolates, up until recently were using malitol. And
I remember that.
Right. And malitol does have some, can give you some digestive issues. But, you know, and the other thing, too, is, you know, the industry, you know, it's, even though it's a growing segment, I don't think there's been a lot of focus on coming up with a real high-quality chocolate.
That's my problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
We can sympathize with you. We have many customers who feel that they have to make these compromises, but they really do because they want the chocolate anyway.
Yeah, we like you guys don't make anything in the store with chocolate, but we have the sugar substitute items we have are the xylitol, sorbitol, malitol, and you always have to, like you say, be careful. You can't eat a lot at once, and it's a touchy subject because it's hard to substitute for something that's so prevalent in the chocolate with as good of a quality sugar-free as there is with sugar.
Well, Lillian, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it very much. 1-800-348-2551. All right, panel, we talked about dark chocolate, and it struck a question in my memory that we have discussed in my household. Is white chocolate actually chocolate? Is there cocoa in it?
There is no cocoa mass in white chocolate
Why call it white chocolate?
Well, you know, I think the FDA is now allowing the term chocolate to be on it. But chocolate really is a combination of cocoa butter and cocoa mass and whatever else goes into it, whether it's the milk solids we talked about earlier or sugars or what have you. However, that said, I think originally a lot of the white chocolate was what I'd call decorating chocolate. Summer bonbons, very, very popular. And because you could, they were able to take colors like pastel colors. And when candy makers needed to come up with a variety of things in summer for summer business, they would go to something like that. I noticed that what we've all brought is predominantly dark chocolate.
Yeah, you know, which is okay with me.
Well, it's also, you know, what obviously we prefer, and we're all each eating each other's chocolates.
It's so much fun.
And having a
it
ball
is so
with
much
it.
Fun.
It's everything that I've had from Matthew and Tara is delicious, and I'm getting good nods from them when they're biting into some of our stuff.
And there's so much more left, and only 13 minutes of the show. So we'll have to stick around for a few minutes after the show. Let's go back to the phones, and Andrea in Germantown. Andrea, you're on.
Hi. Quick question. When I'm making something like chocolate-covered almonds or chocolate-covered fruit, the chocolate's always kind of dull or matte. And quite often when you buy chocolates, they're very shiny and bright-looking. Not bright, but, you know, shiny, glossy.
Yeah.
Is there something you add? Is there a technique? Is there, I'm eating the chocolate too hard? What am I doing? How come they're not all shiny?
Okay.
Well, I think Matthew covered that pretty well earlier with the tempering of chocolate. I mean,
it does come from tempering then.
It does. It's good chocolate, good temper will produce a good result. The other thing that Matthew mentioned earlier is the temperature of what you're coating. So if you've got your almonds or whatever your center is going to be in a fridge, then you really have to bring it to room temperature. In fact, it wouldn't be a bad idea to bring it up to a temperature that's even a little closer to the temperature of the chocolate so you don't shock the chocolate. So if your chocolate is, if you're running chocolate at 88 to 90 degrees, it wouldn't hurt to have whatever you're dipping be in the high 70s.
Right. Okay.
Another quick thing. My mom always told me she can somehow, some way, she can temper chocolate just by putting it to her tongue. Take a little.
Do you resell it after that?
Yeah. Oh, that's twice as much.
Okay. Nice.
Just take your finger into the chocolate, put it right on your tongue. If it is hot to your tongue, it's hot. Don't let it cool. Not everybody, like I said before, will have a thermometer on hand to be able to tell you how hot or cold the chocolate is, but your mouth will tell you if it's too hot or too cold.
We used to work with a wonderful pastry chef who, and if you don't want to put it in your mouth, there's another alternative. Just bring it just to the skin below your lower lip. And if it's cool, to the skin at that point, then you're right in where Matthew's talking about the chocolate needs to be. Because your skin temperature is, your body temperature might be 98.6, but your skin temperature is a little bit less than that. So by touching it to an area where it's not, where you have some sensitivity, as opposed to your fingers, where you probably don't have that sensitivity.
Yeah.
And if it's cool to the touch at that point, then you're probably just slightly below body temp. So you're into that 90, 88 range, and you'll have a better chance. And, you know, Matthew's right. You don't need a thermometer to make it work.
Brilliant.
I would recommend buying a thermometer, though, anyway.
Okay. Yeah. A special kind for chocolate or just a regular?
Just a regular old meat thermometer and make sure it's always properly calibrated to the right temperature. So we teach people how to temper in our shop. We think we've taught about 400 people how to temper actually in Albany. But what we do is we teach you to melt it to about 100 degrees. And then, like he said, add that new chocolate to it to cool it down to that kind of 88. But you do need a thermometer to do that. So.
All right, Andrea, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
May all your chocolates be shiny. 1-800-348-2551. Tara Stratton is here from Chocolate Gecko, Jackie Baker and Ron Mancini of Mother Murex, and Matthew Sinico of Catherine's Chocolates. And oh, let's go to Judy in Pittsfield. Judy, you're on.
Thank you. I'm not a candy person, but I do love chocolate pies, cakes, and cookies.
I'm with you.
And one of the questions, a friend and I got talking about which is the best chocolate to use in cooking. And I've got Baker's German unsweetened sweet chocolate, Baker's unsweetened chocolate, Baker's semi-sweet, and Hershey cocoa. Is there a difference? Is one better than the other?
Well, it actually depends on what you want to make, because each of those have different properties. For instance, cocoa, you know, you can get Dutch processed cocoa, natural cocoa. With the difference is really color and flavor changes. There's also high-fat cocoa, low-fat cocoa.
Are they on the market? I've never seen them.
They are on the market. Specialty food stores would definitely be able to offer you a wider range of good quality cocoa if that's what you're going to be using. We suggest that if you want a big flavor bump, chocolate flavor bump, where the recipe calls for cocoa as opposed to these chocolates, that you use a low-fat. Because you get more of the cocoa flavor, you get more of the chocolate flavor in your cooking, and your fats are going to be coming from some other part of the recipe. And this is on the baking side. Hot chocolate the same way. You know, you could use a low-fat hot cocoa, a cocoa mix, and use evaporated milk to add a richness to that drink, and you'll get a bigger pop out of your cocoa. You use low fat in that mixture than you will of the high fat.
Could you also use, when it calls for milk in a recipe, could you use evaporated milk that way too?
It depends. If it's calling for straight milk, you should, first of all, stick with the recipe, you know, and at least make it once so that you know you get a predictable outcome. And then if you want to experiment with the liquids or you want to experiment with the fat content, you can do that. But, you know, all of these things are really in balance. There needs to be a balance.
Okay.
And so trust the recipe that you have. And then the different flavors of chocolate, the unsweetened, when it calls for unsweetened, it's looking for a high, you know, chocolate flavor. That's probably going to be offset by the sugars or other sweeteners that are going into that recipe. The milk chocolates and the semi-sweets, they're there for a purpose, and they're there to give a good balance to what the ultimate outcome, the designer of the recipe, intended.
So these are good, still good brand names.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and because I often wondered about that. I went looking, and I couldn't find anything else other than these, and I've been having fun trying to use them up.
Well, good.
Thanks, Judy. We appreciate the call very much. Let's go over to Gary in Sunderland. Gary, you're on.
All right. Thanks for taking our call. I am a little confused about the response relative to dark chocolate.
Okay.
I know for a fact I'm not at home, unfortunately, so I can't read you the label, but I have some dark chocolate bars at home that do contain dairy products, dairy elements of dairy in them because I can't eat them.
I see.
So they're just set on the shelf. I have just, for the heck of it, pulled up the Godiva website, and they do say on their website that all of their dark milk and white chocolate contains dairy.
All right, Matthew is nodding his head. Matthew, you want to weigh in?
I called up Merkin's Chocolates not 2 months ago. They changed their ingredients on the bulk chocolate that we get from them from Mansfield, Massachusetts. There's butterfat.
Right.
And that butterfat is derived from a milk byproduct.
Okay. So when you say milk-free, that I just want to be clear both for my own benefit but also for other people maybe listening who can, literally cannot have anything that ever came out of a cow or goat or sheep, that does not necessarily mean dairy-free, and they need to specifically look at, and I need to, and specifically need to look on the label to be sure that they actually contain no dairy, which is kind of what I've been doing.
Okay.
I have a question for our panel.
Does that make sense? So does that correspond with what you're saying?
Would that be on the label?
With us, the milk fat is on the label, and the label says may have come into contact with dairy or milk product. I believe now, at least with the chocolate that we get in, there's going to be some type of minute milk coming from some type of milk byproduct. I know a lot of people that come into our store that say that they are they can't have milk, they can't do lactose, they can't have anything like you're saying come from any type of cow or anything like that. And they will have our dark chocolate because it's not a direct relationship from the milk that's coming from the cow or something like that to the dark chocolate. It's a natural step in how dark chocolate is made, at least with the chocolate that we get in.
Okay.
Yeah, and well, each chocolate manufacturer has their own formulation. The other thing, too, brings to mind is if it's butterfat, okay, it may be derived from dairy.
Mm.
But most people that suffer allergies, food allergies like peanut and what have you, it's from the protein more than anything else. And butter is fat. And so, and it, even in the Merkin's formulation, my guess is that it's brought down to even a much drier product than what we could buy commercially or we can buy in a supermarket. So there's a lower allergen potential. That doesn't mean that people aren't allergic to that, but a lower, smaller population that has that problem because it's stealing fat and a protein.
Let's see if we can squeeze another call in here. Let's go to Beverly. And where are you calling from, Beverly?
I'm calling from Enfield, Connecticut.
All right. Well, you are now, it says Enfield on the sheet, but that's Enfield, right?
Ian.
You're not a first baseman. You're in Enfield.
No.
All right, we have about 30 seconds. Go ahead, Beverly.
Quickly, I have found a line of chocolates that does not use soy lecithin, and I'm wondering if you're going to move to that because these are one of your big competitors, and I'm so pleased because soy lecithin is a problem for me.
Okay, panel?
Yeah, right. We have no strong urge to move to a soy lecithin lecithin-free product. The thing about lecithin, too, is basically it's an emulsifier, and it helps to create a smoother mouthfeel. It also helps to, temper. In fact, years ago, soy lecithin was not even in the product, and chocolate had more of a crumbly feel to it. Some of the bean-to-bar companies are not using soy lecithin, and I've had them. Flavors are terrific. Texture is quite different.
Well, I'm afraid that's where we will have to leave it today, but boy, what a show, and thanks so much to Matthew Sinico of Catherine's Chocolates, Jackie Baker and Ron Mancini of Mother Mirix, and Tara Stratton of Chocolate Gecko. If you want to hear the program again or get some of the tips that we have talked about today, go to our webpage, wamc.org/voxpop. I apologize if you were left on the line today, and thank you for calling. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Thanks to, the intern, I don't even know his name. But thank you for answering the calls. You did a great job, and thank you for listening. Next week at this time, it's a Medical Monday with Alan Shartok. I'm Ray Graff. Stay tuned for a news update.